Reading this morning comes from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. And it's in part of instructions for Christian households. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you so much just for the opportunity to open up your word and celebrate fathers at the same time. Lord, we understand that there are challenges and encouragements for fathers and mothers and everyone in the Bible. So, Lord, we come open and willing to hear from you and what you have to say. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles with you, we're going to be looking through Genesis chapter 22, the first book in the Bible, so you shouldn't have to use your table of contents, but if you do, that's okay as well. Genesis chapter 22. We'll be going into that in a little bit, but if you are here this morning and you're thinking, well, I'm not a father, And so I think I might have come on the wrong day. This is Dad's Day. We're celebrating dads. What does this have to do with me? I just wanted to encourage you and challenge you that this message today and the text from Genesis 22 has as much to do with you as it does with us fathers, because you have the chance to encourage us and to challenge us on our walk with Christ. Couple statistics that are very interesting about Father's Day. One of them comes from the Lifeway Research Group, if you've heard of them. And one of them, it says this: Father's Day is one of the lowest attended Sundays in terms of church attendance, while Mother's Day is in fact one of the highest. Another stat says this: if fathers don't attend church services, this is regularly, whether it be three or four Sundays a month, and only the mother does, only 3% of those children keep attending church after they leave home. Josh McDowell, maybe you've heard of him. He wrote a book called The Dad Difference. He said this: 25% of teens say they have never had a meaningful conversation with their father, a talk centered on the teen's interests. Fathers, let me make it clear to you and to me this morning, our job is not a boring one, it's not a dreadful one, it is a vitally important one. Remember that we're not just raising children, although it's a temptation for us to believe that, especially for myself as we just have toddlers, but we're raising young adults who will leave home, make decisions, and especially the decisions to follow Jesus and to be plugged into a local church. Of course, mothers have a vital role as well, but today we are talking about Father's Day. And as fathers, I think we need a bit of a challenge and encouragement sometimes. And of course, the best encouragement is from the Bible. So Genesis chapter 22, if you have it open. Just a little brief context before we go into this passage. We're going to be reading about Abraham. If you've grown up in the church, or even if you're just visiting, you probably heard of Abraham a little bit before. Here's a little bit about him. He was a man chosen by God to be father of many nations. Just a few chapters before Genesis chapter 22, in Genesis 17, it says this: as for me, this is God, as for me, this is my covenant with you, Abraham. You will be the father of many nations. Now, fathers in the room, this is a great thing to hear, isn't it? As a man, this is what you want to hear. The impact that you are making in the present will make a great impact in the future. As men, we generally typically like to create things. We like to fix things. Whether it's fixing the car, whether it's cooking, I like to do cooking. We love to create and, of course, then see our result of that creation. And so for Abraham, this is great. The next verse in Genesis 17, it says this: I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. Soak that in. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. This is the covenant with Abraham. You see, usually as fathers and as men, yes, we like to create, and we like to have results come out of that. But unfortunately, when we don't get something out of our creating, sometimes it frustrates us, doesn't it? We're fixing the car, or we're looking for something, or we're cooking maybe, and it just doesn't work out like we wanted it to. A couple nods from some men in the room. We can get frustrated with that. We like challenges, and yet when we don't succeed at those challenges, we can get frustrated. For Abraham at this moment in Genesis 17, he's getting great news about being the father of many nations, being very fruitful, and he's very encouraged. As we go into Genesis 22, we see at this point in Abraham's life that things like what is usually called the Ishmael dilemma, if you want to read into that on your own time, is resolved. He has two children, Ishmael and Isaac. And Abraham and his family are just settling into a new place. Things seem pretty stable. Things seem pretty good. And yet God knew that this sense of security and stability was not going to last long as he decides to test Abraham. And we're going to read here, Genesis 22, starting at verse 1. And I will stop at times, just so you know. Genesis 22 says this. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain. I will show you. Now I love the beginning of this passage because we see this posture of surrendering. And we see this again, of course, in Exodus chapter 3 with Moses and the burning bush. God calls Moses from the burning bush, and God is also calling Abraham here. And he says, here I am. A posture of surrendering because Abraham knows and fears God. I think for all of us, whether you're a father here today or not, we need to think about what we do each and every day. When we wake up, do we say, here I am, Lord? Or do we just get on with our day? I know I get on with my day sometimes. I just don't even think about that. But yet, I think the challenge is there for us to say, here I am, Lord, and to wake up with the question, how can we be faithful to what God is calling me to do today? I think that's a good question for us to ask. And it seems like Abraham in this passage in Genesis seems to be ready for God, regardless of what he has to say. However, I think we need to remember this, especially as men, that sometimes when we read a passage like this, it seems like Abraham isn't showing much emotion at all. We have to remember that Abraham isn't a robot. He does show emotion. Hearing to take your son, your only son, whom you love, go to the region of Moriah, sacrifice him as a burnt offering. I am very sure Abraham was showing emotion. We need to remember this. Unfortunately, for the past many, many years, as men, we've been taught to maybe not show emotion. But the reality of the Bible and the reality of men in the Bible is that not only do they show emotion, but they are also manly men. You think of King David, this guy who literally took lions with his bare hands, was a guy that you didn't want to really be in a dark alley with. And yet, he was a man full of emotion. At times, you read in the Psalms, where he wrote many of the Psalms, you can tell there's a lot of emotion. Reading in 2 Samuel about him, about his life as a king. But he was a pretty manly man. And yet he did show emotion. Abraham at this point is probably distraught, to say the least, hearing this news from God. And Abraham, though, as we continue into this passage, looks focused. He seems focused to what God is saying. Let's continue. Verse 3. Early the next morning, Abraham got up. He loaded his donkey, took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you. I'm just going to stop there for a second. I think sometimes if you have grown up in the church or you've heard this story a lot, there's a temptation to just think about the ending instead of focusing on the present verse. So my challenge for all of us is to just stay focused on each verse, seeing what the Holy Spirit is trying to say through to us. We'll keep on going. Verse 6. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering, placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father?" "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand, took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its thorns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." To this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies. And through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me." That's the passage for today. And one of my favorite things about this passage in Genesis is the reality that God is faithful. I think sometimes that we get discouraged about our own walk with Jesus and we think we're not very faithful, and it's true, but God is. We were reminded throughout the scriptures, Philippians 1:6 says this, that we are confident that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. We believe that God knows what's best for his children, and he will carry it on to completion, this good work. John 10, it says this, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." Romans 8:28, one of my favorite verses, it's talking about the sovereignty of God. "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." God is faithful. Paul Tripp, in his book called Awe, he says it this way. You see, God hasn't promised you a good job or great kids. He hasn't promised an easy marriage, a comfortable place to live. He hasn't promised you physical health and a good church to attend. What he has promised is this, that he will complete the work that he has begun in you. And if you're honest, you will admit that you exhibit empirical evidence every day that you still need that change. That's for all of us, fathers, mothers, children today. If you are in Christ Jesus, if you are a follower of Jesus, God is faithful to keep you, to love you, and will never let you go, will never let you perish. Fathers today and parents today, let this be our assurance. We have assurance of that. Abraham was confident that God would be faithful. And as fathers today, here on 2018, we're all challenged to remind that not only has the Lord provided, but the Lord will provide. See, Abraham submitted faithfully to God throughout this story. And through his faithfulness, God blessed him. Through his faithfulness, God blessed him with results. His faithfulness became fruitfulness. Fathers, we need to remember this because, as I mentioned before, we like to do things, we like to have challenges, we like to fix things. And yet when we don't get good results out of those things, we get frustrated. Abraham, as he said multiple times in this passage, said, "Here I am." He wasn't expecting results, but rather he was being faithful. Faithful to the Father. Even Jesus, the greatest example of manhood even, the greatest example of submitting to the Father, he did this many times. Although it's a mystery in some way, because he is the Son of God. Time and time again, he went away to pray with the Father, to spend time with him. Even the act on the cross, where the wrath of God was placed upon Jesus, was an act of surrender, submission to the Father. That's the gospel, isn't it, though? And fathers today, and everyone today, we need to understand how fallen we are, to understand how incredible a Savior we have, Jesus. The parents in this room, if you're a parent today, we must remember each day when we wake up that our children belong to God. Our children belong to God. If we consider ourselves followers of Jesus, our children belong to God, and our role is to be faithful. Faithful to where God has placed us, in our role where he has placed us. Acts 17:26 tells us that God has predetermined or predestined where you will be in terms of location as well as role in your life. Fathers today, I know sometimes we think, oh, should we really be a father? You get discouraged sometimes, but know that God has placed you there and he will not give up on you. If you're a father today, you are a father for a reason. To be faithful. And if you aren't a father today, God has also placed you where you are for a reason. We need to remember this, especially as we understand that Jesus is with us and he will carry it on to completion, this good work in our lives. Being a father is, of course, a tremendous responsibility, as is a mother. Yet scripture is clear that we as fathers are, as Ephesians 6:4 was just read, says, fathers are to bring them up, bring children up in the training and instruction of the Lord. This isn't easy. Because of that, I am so thankful that God doesn't say we're to do it alone. Whether it's fathers around you, whether it's the mom there, surround yourself with gospel-centered community that will help encourage you, challenge you. Children in the room, I know there's a couple in there, just a few here. But take note of this as well. Isaac, that we just read about. Now, I'm sure Isaac could have easily fought Abraham. According to the Bible, it seems like Abraham was well over 100 years old. Isaac was definitely not 100 years old. He was much younger. And I'm sure he could have easily fought off his father going up the mountain on the way to this. And yet Isaac honored his father by first honoring God. Knowing that God had called his father, Abraham, to sacrifice something, to be faithful, he went with him. And Abraham knew that the calling to be a father was not to place his son over God, but rather God over his son. The calling was to be faithful rather than fruitful. This is what needs to be remembered today more than anything, if you want to write this down or just remember it. You see, we're talking about the goal of the godly father today, the heart of the godly father. This is what the goal is. The goal of the godly father is not fruitfulness or to produce results, even though we would want that sometimes. Rather, the goal of the godly father is faithfulness. Abraham wasn't perfect. If you follow along in the story after Genesis 22, we see Abraham mess up a lot. He was a liar. And at times, incredibly passive. In all of this, though, we know that from the Bible that nobody is good, of course, except God. And the only good person to ever set foot on this planet was Jesus. Fathers, do not try to be perfect. I know we try sometimes. Our pursuit of producing fruit, of producing results, your pursuit of getting results in one way, of course, is good. We were created to do that in some way. God has created men, and at times more specifically fathers, to be people who want to create and support the people around them. Yet I think this is what we get wrong a little bit here. We often think that through producing fruit or producing results, we will then be faithful. Let me say this another way. Sometimes when something good happens in our lives, then we usually say, God is good, don't we? I know I've done that. But here's the reality. God is good, of course, all the time. And the greater reality is that God has challenged all of you fathers, all of us, for faithfulness. Because faithfulness produces fruitfulness, not the other way around. Whether it's while we are living or while we are in heaven, our faithfulness will produce fruitfulness. Abraham put God above everything, as we saw, saying, "Here I am," and having a posture of surrender. He knew that everything that he had, whether it was taken from him or given to him, was from God. In all of this, he put God above everything, above his family, above Isaac. Each aspect of his life was God saturated. He knew that in order to produce any kind of fruit, any kind of results, he needed to be faithful. He knew that just trying to produce fruit or results without being faithful wouldn't work. Because Abraham obeyed God, took Isaac to Moriah, God blessed him. Remember the core teaching of this passage today. The Lord will provide. Fathers, there's no need to worry, to be anxious. The Lord will provide, and he has provided. Isn't easy being a parent? Isn't easy being a father? Unlike Mother's Day, I can personally say that with full assurance, that being a father isn't easy at times. And yet the call for faithfulness over fruitfulness is vital as we help lead our families, as we help grow these children. This means that when there is an opportunity to share the gospel with your children, to help read the Bible in your home, we must take it. You see, when we are faithful, God will not only provide, but our faithfulness will be an example to our children and to the people around us. Can you imagine the kind of example that Abraham had on Isaac? This faithfulness that Isaac saw, not just even this event, but his whole life. Yes, his father wasn't a perfect man, but none of us are. But Abraham was faithful. This passage from Ephesians this morning that was just read, it's clear that we have a responsibility as fathers to teach our children about Jesus and to lead our families with God's help. I pray that we can be thankful today for fathers, as I'm sure some of you have plans this afternoon. But let's pray for the fathers that we know that need this challenge today. Maybe it's the fathers in this room. I know I need that challenge sometimes. Thank you for fathers. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you in surrender, coming out of a passage that in some ways seems very tough and very hard to swallow. Lord, we understand through all of this that you are faithful. Lord, we understand that we are to be faithful as well. But Lord, we are so thankful that even when we are not faithful and when we just want to run away and carry on with our lives, Lord, we are so thankful that you will help complete the work in us, that you will not let go of us, not let us perish, if we are indeed in Christ. Lord, thank you for this day, and thank you so much for the fathers that you have placed in our lives. Continue to help us in our walk with Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.